Well, you never know exactly where he's going to shovel. It could have been over to Jim Roberts, so we don't know. Huh? So, the title of this message is The Word Was God. That's what it says in John 1:1. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Anyway, prior to the message, and as we were talking about this morning, when people pray for revival, I was asking myself, what are they actually asking for? And the answer is, they're asking for a visitation of the Holy Spirit. But we don't think of it like that, because we're human, and we're natural. And so, we've had revivals over the years, and we've had people have spoken tongues, and things exciting things have happened. So we want the excitement. We want the something like the last time we had it. However, Jesus told us that when the Holy Spirit comes, He will lead and guide into all truth. And so, a real the end time revival has to be an acknowledging or an accepting or a developing of the truth. And see, the problem is that each church group is pretty well convinced that they have the truth. That's our dilemma that we have today. They already have it. The Assembly of God has the truth. The United Pentecostal Church, they have the truth. And so, and each organization, the Baptists, they have the truth. And so, if God is going to finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, as the Bible says in Romans 10, then those who are deceived will miss the last great move unless they humble themselves and get in the right position before God. See? And face the fact that maybe they're not right. And allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide them into the truth. And of course, letting go of false Godhead doctrines will separate the sheep from the goats in the last move. Because there was a real turmoil in Azusa Street, or in their convention, I don't know where it was held, shortly after Azusa Street, when some people began, they had a great big prayer meeting and a big convention, and at the end of it, some of the people that were praying realized that the Trinity is not true. And so there was a big division, a separation between the two groups, and they ended up becoming what is now known as the Assembly of God and the United Pentecostal Church, the two different groups. And see, God has had a lot of visitations over the years, but somehow men have refused to budge on their false doctrines. I believe that God is about to make major truths so plain, like this revelation behind us. How plain is that revelation from the Scripture? You know, how plain is the fact that there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus? We've got hundreds and hundreds of scriptures, and after a while they get plainer and plainer, see? And so that only the willing fools are going to miss it. The true identity of the only begotten lamb sacrifice, let's put it that way, the true identity of God's only begotten lamb sacrifice, is that not what we had? That God has given for the remission of all men's sins must be known in order for men to have salvation. And this is in John 17:3. This is life eternal, that they know the only true God. And I was telling Charlie just, you know, a little earlier that I've come to the realization that the only access that we have between us and God is His Word. We don't have anything else. And so if we love that Word, that is the beginning of a love relationship with God. And so if all we listen to is His Word, that we're listening to Him. And so what we need to pray is that, Lord, give us a revival for truth. Now, one other thought that came to me early this morning is that those that are the plain or the wise and the prudent are those who feel that they are God's gift to the church. You know, they're wise and they're prudent. Even though God hides all things from them, it says, I thank you. This is in the 11th chapter of Matthew. He says, I thank you, Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. And, you know, that doesn't make sense in the natural. But God is in charge. He knows what he wants to do, and so we have to let him do what he wants. It's got to be done his way, not ours. And so, see, those that are the leaders have always felt it was their responsibility to enlighten the less fortunate. You know, the ignorant fishermen, the whatever else that people were labeled in the scripture, see. What did the Jewish leaders call the followers of Jesus? What was it? What was the term they used? Can you remember? They had a derogatory type statement that they used in relationship to the followers.
Something ignorant?
Well, maybe it's just ignorant. Maybe that's the word I'm looking for. But anyway, because they followed Jesus, they were unlearned and ignorant. And isn't it funny that he has always given the truth to the unlearned and the ignorant? He's always done that. The scriptures have been held back from those who are the only ones who are the... Oh, okay. I wrote something down, didn't realize what I wrote here. The scriptures have subtly been held back from the ones that God reveals truth to. And so the Catholic Church has said it's not, you know, it's not right for those that have not been well taught to have the Scripture, because it's not going to make sense to them. It has to be taught to them by the leaders. Well, you know what? Nothing has changed. It's exactly like that today. So what do we have? We have the Scriptures that people don't read because they have well-taught leaders who have been taught in seminaries and Bible colleges and places of higher education. And so they are taught to listen to those guys. And I just heard a statement just recently. I won't mention it right here in case it gets the ones that said it to me or hear it. But it was like, you know, that we need to be listening to those that have the authority, that are in positions of leadership and whatever. See, and because with their natural understanding, many people think that that's where truth is going to come, but it doesn't. It comes in God's system, God's way. The Word was God in John 1:1, and all translations that I am aware of all say that the Word was with God and the Word was God. Now, every translation that I have. Now, it doesn't mean that everything changes. Some of the things that people put into their translations stops at that point, because it doesn't. But every translation that I could find, the first verse of the scripture said just about the same thing. And, however, as the verses progress, as we go through the scriptures, the translators try with all of their might to make the Word into Christ. And you know why? Because in their mind, that is their image. That's what they see. That's what they think. And so they have to make their image fit into the scripture somewhere. And so they make him into a deity. And as such, the rest of the scriptures reveal Christ as the man, Son of God, and thereby not a spirit creation. See, God designed the Savior and the mediator and the high priest for all men, which is Christ, to be a man who totally obeyed him like no one else has ever done. Is that the truth?
Yes.
He made him to be a man that obeyed. And so when I hear the scriptures where God says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased, I see a man. Because I have become familiar with the scriptures. However, due to inherited false doctrines, when most people hear that that they automatically see the Son as a God. Now, it don't make sense to me anymore. And that's because of the Scriptures. And my thoughts are, of course, if he were a God, he would please the Father. He would have no reason not to. But if he were a man, and he was, then that statement makes sense. It makes sense to me. And Christ was the statement. He was the statement for all men. And here's what he said. Because I overcame, and I want to add, because what no one else had ever done, you can overcome in me. Is that not what he said? Because I overcame, you can overcome. And he says in the third chapter of Revelation, he says, because I overcame, I am sat down in the Father's throne. And so if you overcome, you can sit down with me in my throne. I mean, that's a statement that he makes. And so if and since truth was and is such an issue, God brought forth his only begotten Son, who was born and lived his entire life so as to bear witness to what God meant by what he said. And I say that based upon the Old Testament and the New, but the New was not written at the time that, you know, that Jesus was saying these things. So what we had at that time was the Old Covenant. That's all we had. And so God came through Christ to those that God has specifically chosen, which were the Jews. However, being of the earth, earthy, and natural and carnal, they refused to believe that Christ was who he said that he was, and that God had actually sent him, and so with eyes to see, without eyes to see and ears to hear, what God had prophesied through the Old Testament scriptures, they missed the one that God had sent and prophesied about since Genesis 3:15. That was the first promise that we have of Jesus. And oh, how easy it is to get all caught up with forms of godliness or godlessness, churches, and never really desire a love for the truth. Been there and done that. When I first was saved and I was in this denominational church, I got so fed up with what they taught, and they purposely, I think, taught things that were so contrary to the scriptures that Joanne and I, we just couldn't take it. And anyway, I got to the point that I rejected everything that was taught in the church, and I didn't know what any of the other churches even taught. I really was not aware of it, but it caused me to turn all of my attention and my affection on the Word of God. And so when Jerome was healed and when some of these things began to happen, the only thing that Joanne and I had was God's Word. We had no church doctrine. We had rejected the teachings of the church. And so anyway, without a real love for the truth, which sets all past theories aside and sets men on a straight path towards truth, men won't be saved. They're not going to be saved. If you don't receive a love for the truth, you can't be saved. Isn't that what it says? That's the subtle way that it says it in 2 Thessalonians 2:10. And so what a shame when men have spent years running after false ideologies, idols, only to discover on the day of judgment that they were not even a part of God's system. Is that a shame? Is that why there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth? And as such, can you imagine on the day of judgment, those who condemned and crucified Christ having to stand before him? All men are going to stand before him. So those that crucified him, they're going to stand before him too. They all had the scriptures and even prided themselves on their private interpretations of the scriptures. The problem, they refused to believe what God said through the prophets. See, that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you would have believed Moses, this is in John 5:46, if you would have believed Moses, for he wrote about me in verse 47. But if you don't believe his writings, how are you going to believe what I say? And so apparently the devil deceived them into looking at the scriptures as many churchgoers do, you know, and so you can't believe everything that you read in the Scriptures. That's what people say. See, I was taught that too. What a subtle, demonic thing that I picked up over the years. We can't believe all the Scriptures because there are mistakes. Isn't that where the church is? So what it does, it belittles the Scripture without people knowing or understanding. And you know why people don't believe the Scripture, or they don't know that the Scriptures are God's Word? Is because they have no relationship with the Scriptures. They have a relationship with the false doctrines of the churches, and so that's all they have to go by. And so if you don't think you can believe all of the Scriptures, it makes you a self-appointed God and gives people the license that to accept whatever they like and reject whatever they don't like. I was subtly taught that philosophy throughout my entire Christian experience. And see, that is not exactly how it is worded in, or, you know, people would say, well, that's not exactly how it is worded in the original or in the Hebrew or in the Greek. And me, being amazed at their great enticing words of wisdom, never realized that these, quote, great intellectuals were substituting for the Holy Spirit for me and for lots of other people. That was a substitution for the Holy Spirit. So here we are, babes and sucklings. And nobody wants to be a babe or a suckling. And even though it says, as newborn babes, we're supposed to take in the pure, undefiled Word of God. But you still, nobody wants to be a babe and suckling. In Matthew 18:3, Jesus told his disciples, he says, except you are converted and become as little children. Nobody wants that. The kingdom will never be formed in you, or it says, you shall never enter into the kingdom. But I said, see, it doesn't say the kingdom will never be formed in you, but isn't that what Jesus said? The kingdom is within you. So when he said you shall never enter into the kingdom, isn't that again the one and the same? What's the difference if it's entering into the kingdom or having the kingdom formed inside of you, which is the same thing? And so before true conversion takes place, the enticing words of the great ones make a lot of sense. I sat and I listened to the great intellectuals, and you know what I heard made a lot of sense. And I used to talk to Simon. We used to listen to some of these great messages out in the boat while we were fishing. And I said, boy, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. It doesn't line up with the Scriptures. And he said, well, what you got to do is eat the fish and spit out the bones. And I can still remember him saying that to me. However, once men become converted over to the realm of faith by the Holy Spirit, then the great intellect of great men becomes a pathetic thing and non-productive. It becomes pathetic. See, unbeknownst to most people, God is not impressed with the great minds that he created in the first place. He created the minds, and he's not really impressed with them. And his word is, as is, causes men to get God's attention. So when we have a childlike faith in his word, it gets his attention. It says, to this man will he look. And the one is who trembles at his word. Well, you know what? In order to tremble at his word, something else has to take place. There has to become a relationship with that word that causes that. Are you following what I'm saying? And so when these great minds become ignorant of the fact that the Bible actually is the Word of God, and that God is the one that keeps it exactly as he wants it. See, that was a big, major step for me, and I hope that I have gotten that point across to hear anybody that listens. God has kept the Word the way he wants it. God has kept his Word the way he wants it. While I'm sitting here worrying about whether there have been people that have mistranslated somewhere in the Bible, God is the one that is over the picture and keeps it the way he wants it. He keeps it the way he wants it. And so people feel it is their obligation to make sure that they protect God's holy word. You know what that is? That's unbelief and that's ignorance. with no understanding of the awesomeness of who God is. See, God does not need anyone to help him protect his word. He is rather looking for those who believe it and obey it. You know what? That's a major revelation in itself. I have such a miscoordination between my head and my hands that I have all I can do to get stuff sorted out and keep it right here. See, men have become afraid of many of the translations that exist. They are afraid that men will rob the truth from the translations. However, truth is actually totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit. It doesn't even say you can read the Bible, it will lead and guide you into all truth. The Bible tells us that when the Holy Spirit comes, he is the one that will lead and guide you into all truth. Are you following me? However, truth is actually, okay, and as such, he will lead and guide people through any of the modern translations. I don't know of any translation that I'm aware of, and there are some poor translations, I suppose, that all of the truth issues that I believe are truth issues are pretty much the same in all of the different translations. See, the truth is so vital and important to men's souls so that God makes sure that it is protected for the sake of those who receive a love for it. Do you understand me? If men are deceived so that they are not able to receive a love for the truth, then it remains hidden from them and there's not anything that anybody can do about it. And so when Pilate asked Jesus what truth was, his ability to understand was in the natural and the carnal, while truth is in the faith realm of the spirit. Therefore, he could never understand truth even if he saw it or he heard it. He didn't have eyes to see, he didn't have ears to hear, so Jesus didn't even answer him. And so maybe that is why Jesus never seemed to answer questions like that. I've often wondered, why doesn't he give them a straight answer? They ask him questions and he never gave them a straight answer. It's kind of like things I used to hear from some of the great ones. And maybe it's like, why increase their sins on the day of judgment that will one day be upon them, see? Or had Jesus already answered Pilate's question, but he couldn't understand it anyway? Maybe he answered it, you know. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Was that an answer to his question? Maybe it was. In John 18:37, here's what it is. It says, everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. And so, or everyone that wants the truth? It says everyone is of the truth, but what about, maybe if we stated and said, well, everyone that wants the truth hears my voice, or is able to hear the truth. As such, how many times did Jesus say to the Jews, why can't you hear me? Why can't you hear what I'm saying? And see, Christ knew who he was and where the things that he was saying came from. See, he knew that he was God's son, and the Jews didn't know that, but he did. He knew who he was. And if he could have become frustrated, if it was possible, he would have been frustrated at those Jews. You look at it and you think, I would have been frustrated. But the thing is, no, because I would have been right there with him. The fact that we speak in words of eternal life to those that God sent him to speak to, and they refused to hear him, could and would have frustrated most normal beings, wouldn't it? Doesn't it sound like sometimes like he's a little bit frustrated with them? It sounds like it. Was he? I don't know. See, God so loved the world as only a great creator could love his prized creation. And that's who we are. We're a prized creation. And yet, God expects his creation to reciprocate. You know what that means? To love him back as he loves them. That's what he expects. and believe in it and believe him. And to those who will hear and receive it and believe it and do it, to that people, God will give them the power, or it says in some translations, the ability to become the sons of God. It says that he will give them the power. And I'm thinking, based on Acts 1:8 and other scriptures, it says you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I'm thinking that those verses are talking about John 1:12. To as many as received him, to them he gives the power to become. I'm thinking that those are kind of the same thought pattern. God calls all men unto himself. However, the devil holds up a big sign that somehow tells people, if you don't want to find God, if you want to find God, the devil holds up a sign. What you need to do is find a church of your choice somewhere. I think the devil is behind that. We were working, and you've heard me say this so many times, in a tavern one night. And the more people drank, the more religious they got. We were working on the floor, so Simon and I were listening to the conversation. And after a while, he said, you know what I got to do? I know that I'm a sinner. I've got to start going to church with my wife. And here these guys are pretty well, inebriated. But the thought pattern is, I have to start going to church. I have come to the realization that church is possibly one of the most dangerous places that you can be. It's like all churches lead men to God. Or as the old saying, all roads lead to Rome. You've heard that quoted, I'm sure. And see, the first and greatest of the Ten Commandments says that what to all men, you shall, it said you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart. And yet the percentage of God's creation that actually honor that commandment is limited to probably to the few there be that find it, and as such, for the most part, those that have been supernaturally created by an awesome creator scoff at his existence. For the most part, those that have been supernaturally created by him scoff at his existence and try to figure out some other way so that they must have come into existence. Is that the truth? Look at the school system, and which shows the presence of principalities and powers. How about demons within men? It shows the presence of principalities and powers. See, we have no other explanation for why any of us are here, and yet the only explanation that we have and has existed for thousands of years is in this Bible, is written off by most people as a fairy tale. Most people see it and they read the scripture, if they do read them at all, and yet only any intelligent person should know that it is virtually impossible to begin something from nothing. Shouldn't any intelligent, who was the great scientist, Newton, Sir Isaac Newton, and he was a firm believer in the things of God. And yet, there are people that were some of his friends that were not. And so he did everything he could to prove to them that God was real, even to the point of creating a miniature example of the universe and how it operates. And he'd turn a little crank and everything would move and function properly. And when he got all done, somebody said, whoa, who made all that? He says, nobody. See, that was the only way he could explain it. Nobody made this. And it's like, nobody made all of this. And so the origin of matter should cause any intelligent person to consider the possibility of God. The origin of matter, as we know it. Where'd it come from? God's spirit. So he creates this universe. He creates everything from nothing. The Bible tells us that. Where did the first part of anything come from? A power to consider the... A power that can bring into existence something from nothing? I mean, this is awesome. And so as Romans 1:20 tells us, that when men see the things that exist all around them, they are without excuse on the day of judgment if they don't believe in the things of God. And when and if they do believe in the eternal God of creation as a power source behind it, everything that exists points towards a different realm or dimension other than what man's intellect is familiar with. Everything around us points towards something that is totally different than what we're familiar with. It is no wonder that 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us that the things of God appear as foolishness to the natural-minded people. Or, you know what it says? I think it's in the 6th chapter of 1st or 2nd Timothy. It says, science falsely so-called. Science falsely so-called. They call it science, but it's not. And so, how do you teach scientific things in any of the school systems without God being involved? How do you do it? Somebody answer me. And since the Word of God is really the source of all truth, how much actual truth is taught in the school systems that deny the existence of God? Somebody tell me. God is the source of all truth. How much truth is taught then since when people deny the existence of God? And what is taught may make sense to men. However, it still might not line up with truth. In Hebrews 11:3, it tells us that by faith we understand. It actually says through faith we understand. I don't know, does it say that in all the translations or just say by faith in some? But it says in the King James, through faith we understand. And my thing is explain that to the teachers. And explain the fact that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Explain that to men. You know what? It took me a while. I believe it. But it took me a while. I had to undo a lot of my teaching and even my church teaching in order to realize that this is actually the truth. You know what causes it to become the truth? When you become converted and receive the mindset of little children. And so if you say the worlds were created by God's word, it's like, what else you got for sale? You know what I mean? Nobody believes that. And yet, by whatever this word that was with God and was God is doing within us, we are beginning to understand that God's word is all-powerful because it is the same as a powerful one that speaks it. And I, for one, am a witness of the all-powerful healing and saving power of God and his powerful word. I'm a witness of all this. As I read that book, it took me back, you know, that book about Jerome and so forth. It took me back a few years. And it made me realize that God's hand has been on us. And he doesn't take it off from us unless we want him to. And I don't want him to. And neither do you. You don't want God's hand to be taken off from you. See, God's word is all-inclusive, which means it is God's nature and essence. It is the same nature and the same essence, and that's why Peter can say, by these words, we become partakers of God's divine nature. Isn't that what he says? 2 Peter 1:4? Which means, you know, and therefore, as men continue in John 8:31, and therefore, as men continue and take into their system, it slowly convinces them that it is true. And see, that's the problem. And that pleases God. That is the problem. Jesus said, if you continue, meaning what? If you were to continue in something, that's pretty much all inclusive, isn't it? Well, if you do this once in a while. He didn't say that. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples. How many people continue in his word? I wasn't one of them. Not very many. Because we don't have to. All we do is we go to church, we take home a bulletin, we hear the preacher quote 6 verses maybe at the most, and after we get home, we forget all about it, and we go do our own thing, and then that's life. That's the way we live. And at the end of this thing, we're going to be caught up, and we're going to be with God in heaven. And I'm saying, baloney. Don't count on it. Guess what? When we do listen to the scriptures, and we do continue in His Word, that pleases God. And so Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and I've come to the conclusion it doesn't come by hearing a church service. It comes by hearing God's Word in truth via the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come by listening to all of the things that are spoken in the church. And so, of course, only those who will receive a love for the truth are those who are willing to set aside past theories. We have to set aside these past things. You know what? I had carried a lot of those theories even when God spoke to me, and I heard, or whoever spoke, a voice spoke to me. I still carried a lot of those theories. And over time, as I have listened and listened and listened to the Word, I have been, I didn't want to use the word forced, but somehow we have set aside a lot of these theories. And I'm not saying that all of them are set aside yet. But we set them aside and replaced them with God's Word. And you know what? So have you. And so, Peter said, as newborn babes, earnestly desire the sincere milk of the Word. That's in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. The truth is not skim milk or 1% or even 2%. Now, we use 2%, but that's not what milk, what real milk is, or that's what truth is. But truth is the whole pure milk. As such, whenever men water down the pure Word with private interpretations and revelations of their minds that are scripturally illogical, and a lot of things are, it then is no longer the power expression of God. And I say that in the beginning, when I was first saved, the only thing that I had was the Word of God. And now the only thing that we are beginning to get is the Word of God. What is happening to me? I am being restored to my first love. In the process, because I love that Word so much, I realize I'm beginning to love God. Because that is the key. It's the key. And we don't understand it, but it is. And in Mark 7:13, now just think about this. Jesus said that men made the Word of God of no effect or power because of their traditions. Well, what are their traditions? It's false doctrines, inherited teachings, private interpretations that are found nowhere within God's Word. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, even though I don't really understand it myself. It says, since God's Word is truth, since God's Word in truth was God, then God is extremely jealous of His Word. And if and when it is not brought forth by revelations of the Holy Spirit, God's jealous of it, then we have a problem. When Jesus rebuked Peter in Mark 8:33, He said, you don't understand the things of God, but rather only the things that are of men. Now first He gave him honor. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, son of Jonas. However, the truth is that is a condition of almost all men. They're flesh. Even church people. There's a pastor that we see frequently over to Culver's. and lives right down the road. And anyway, and I hear their conversation. They'll sit by a table and they're talking. And I hear their conversation. I'm thinking, that's not like any conversation I just walked out of at the church. It's carnal. It's natural. See, men must be converted over until they are able to see and hear the things of God that have, and they have eyes to see and ears to hear. And the shame is that men like Peter was start places of religious education and try to make natural minds, and with natural minds, they try to teach other natural men with natural minds the things of the Spirit. Am I right or wrong? Men with natural minds try to teach the spiritual things to other men with natural minds using natural thought patterns. And so when Hebrews 11:3 tells us that the faith by faith we understand, or through faith we understand, that concept, which is essential to knowing and pleasing God, is not even a consideration in most of the church system. As such, a natural-minded person must be converted over to the spiritual, faith-minded new creation in order to receive God's truth. Except you be born again, you can't understand the things of God's kingdom. Is that kind of basically what he told Nicodemus? And so here we are, we're trying in the churches, we've done it, I've been as guilty as anybody else. I've a brand new person comes into the church, and after he's been here, I mean, this is when we had a much larger church. They come in and we say, you know, he'd make a good Sunday school teacher. And so we get him teaching Sunday school for the kids. You know what he knows about the things of God? Nothing. I've done it myself. I've been over the Sunday school. We must first be converted to the spiritual realm in order to receive God's truth. And so millions of people who hope the things of God are real, they hope they're real, become Sunday school teachers in forms of godliness churches and try to teach things that are spiritual by using their natural logic. Nobody knows. And so, is it any wonder that men are ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth? Is that going on around us right now? They're ever learning. You know why that they never come to the knowledge of the truth? The things that they are taught are not true. How then, somebody tell me, will they come to the knowledge of the truth if they're not hearing the truth? However, we are told repeatedly that God's will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:5, 2:4. But if men are not willing to receive a love for the truth, but rather prefer their inherited doctrines, right or wrong, how then will they ever come to this knowledge of the truth that God's will is that they have? From the scriptures, it is obvious that God insists upon men seeking after truth. Is that true? From the scriptures, it's obvious that God wants men to seek after truth. However, the unseen enemy of men's souls is determined to convince men, like Pilate, you know, remember his questions, that truth is an option. What is the truth? What is truth? It's an option. You can have it or not have it. As long as you do this, 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 and this. You know, the Bible doesn't say to do this, 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 and this. God's will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's not an option. And therefore, it is not that high. They feel it's not that high in God's list. And therefore, the unity through diversity makes sense. And people even think it's acceptable to God. What Jesus is basically saying to Nicodemus was, unless men allow God to turn their natural logic and thinking into faith understanding, they will never be able to visualize the makeup of the kingdom of God or have a love alone habit within their system. They can't visualize it, or have it formed within them. See, we were created in God's image. But God is a spirit. God is spirit. I have to look at Ken sometimes to say that accurately. God is spirit. But we were created in his image. How can we be created in his image if he's spirit? Unless the creation of his son was already in mind. Of his perfect son. Did God look ahead and see his son perfected? If God can use prophets, holy men of old, to prophesy thousands of years in advance, could he look and see his son perfected? Could his son, in a way, be with him before the world began? Could he create all things through his son before his son was born? What can't he do? See, God is spirit. And so it would be God's desire for man to be raised to as close to his image as possible in the spiritual realm. So did God not want us to come out of the natural and into the spiritual? In that verse that was quoted this morning, and I think Ken quoted it, I'm not sure, where the angel said, don't worship me, see that you don't worship me, or somebody quoted it. Charlie did. And because I'm a servant like you are, like you. And it's like the Bible says we are going to be like the angels. It does not mean that we're going to have a body like the angels. Because we're going to have a body that closes, covers a soul that we now have inside of us at this moment. So the new body is going to be like whatever Christ was glorified into. And so would God maybe want us to represent him to others like Christ did? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How about, can't we, doesn't he want us to be able to say, he that has seen me has seen God? Do you follow what I'm saying? And so that we would be able to say, you know, see, if and since we were created in the image of God, would not God then expect us to manifest or express his image? He was the expressed image of the invisible God. That does not make any sense whatsoever. I am not so sure that we are able to claim the image of God unless we rightly manifest it. What is happening to us? Keith Gunn is a long ways from it. But Keith Gunn, by faith somewhere down inside, I can see a day coming when I'm going to stand up for the things of God in truth. I can see it coming. And I'm a quiet and self-protecting individual. And which is why we are told in 2 Peter that we become partakers of God's divine nature. Hopefully, this message helped everybody to understand things that I'm beginning to understand somehow supernaturally. That word is the key. It is the answer. The only thing we have is God's word. And so, by the mercy and the grace of God, I feel like I am beginning to understand these things, at least in a measure. In Proverbs 23:7, it tells us, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Well, what happens if I begin to think the things of God through his word in my heart, and that's all that's in me? Do I become that? If we meditate day and night, and delight in God's word, will not our thoughts and ways eventually become the higher thoughts and the higher ways of God? Or are we destined to an un-Christ image? Did his ways become the high ways of God and the high thoughts of God? Or was he just a man? Or was he a man that the Spirit of God was in to the degree that it changed his personality so that he could say the things that he said? The words that I speak, their spirit and their life. I can't say that. I think we will be able to. Will not our thoughts and our ways eventually become the higher thoughts and the higher ways of God? The ever-learning 2 Timothy 3:7 is not a bad thing, but rather it's a good God-given thing if what we learn is a true things that God has given us. Ever-learning is not bad. It's what you ever learn that's bad. So anyway, God bless you. I love you.